Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Erevin, Daf Kuf Aleph. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Hadela Sheba Muksa, the door to a backyard, V'chadakim Sheba Pirtza, and a bundle of thorns is placed in a gap in the wall, Machsalos, and reed mats, even if these irregular doors are tied to the doorway, Ein Nolhin Behen. One may not close the entranceway with them on Shabbos, Elim Ken Gvoim in Arts, unless they're suspended above the ground. Rashi explains that it's prohibited to place them in a position because of the malacha of bona, and he adds that even if they're hanging, if they're touching the floor, it's still forbidden midrabban because of mechzik bona. It appears like bona. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Meir prohibited a person standing in Rishus Rabim from picking up a key in Rishus Yachid to unlock a door in Rishus Yachid, unless he made a mechitza 10 tefachim high to convert the area in which he stands to Rishus Yachid. The Chachamim challenged Rabbi Meir with an incident in the butcher's market in Yerushalayim where people would lock their stores while they're standing in the street and leave the key on a windowsill above the door, and the windowsill had the dimensions of a Rishus Yachid. So this proves that it is permissible to handle a key in a Rishus Yachid while standing in Rishus Rabim. The Gemara asks on the question that the Chachamim asked Rabbi Gezer that their proof is irrelevant to Rabbi Meir's position, since Yerushalayim has a din of a Carmelis. As Rabbi Bar Chaya said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim ilmalei daso seha ninalos b'layla chayavin ola mishum Rishus Rabim. Yerushalayim, if it were not that its doors were closed at night, one would be liable for carrying an Rishus Rabim. Rabbi Papa answered and explained, Kan kodem shenifrit zo pirtzos, kan la'achar shenifrit zo pirtzos. Rabbi Yochanan's statement was referring to the status of Yerushalayim before breaches were made in its walls, whereas the Mishnah was referring to an incident that took place after breaches were made in its walls, giving Yerushalayim the status of Rishus Rabim. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Neger sheyesh barosha galustra, a bolt that is pushed into a hole on the bottom of a doorway, in order to be able to close the door, that has a knob on its head, and can now be used as an instrument to crush pepper. Rabbi Eliezer prohibits its use, and Rabbi Yossi permits it. The Gemara explains, Benito be'igdo, if the bolt is attached and hanging by a cord, everyone agrees that it's permitted to use because it's clear that it's being used as a bolt and doesn't give the appearance of bona. If it cannot be lifted by its cord because the cord will break, Rabbi Yossi holds that it can still be used because since there's a knob on the end of it, it has Torah's kli olav, it has the status of a kli, and will not be misconstrued as an act of bona. Rabbi Ezra holds that since the bolt cannot be picked up by the cord, it's viewed as unattached and therefore can be construed as an act of bona. So once again, the three topics are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Hadela Sheba Muksa, the door to a backyard, Chadakim Sheba Pirtza, and a bundle of thorns that's placed in a gap in the wall, Machsalos, and reed mats, even if these irregular doors are tied to the doorway, Ein Nolin Behen. One may not close the entranceway with them on Shabbos, Alim Ken Gvoim in Arts, unless they're suspended above the ground. Rashi explains that it's prohibited to place them in a position because of the Malacha Bona, and he adds that even if they're hanging, if they're touching the floor, it's still forbidden in the Rabban because of Mechzik Bona. It appears like Bona. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Meir prohibited a person standing Rishus Rabim from picking up a key in Rishus Yachid to unlock a door in Rishus Yachid, unless he made a mechitza 10 tefachim high to convert the area in which he stands to Rishus Yachid. The Chachamim challenged Rabbi Meir with an incident in the butcher's market in Yerushalayim, where people would lock their stores while they were standing in the street and leave the key on a windowsill above the door, and the windowsill had the dimensions of Rishus Yachid. So this proves that it's permissible to handle a key in Rishus Yachid while standing in the Rishus Rabim. So the Gemara asks on the question that the Chachamim asked Rabbi Eliezer that their proof is irrelevant to Rabbi Meir's position, since Yerushalayim has a din of a Carmelis. And as Rabbi Baruch Hanna said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim ilmalei daso seha ninalos b'layla chayavin olav mishum Rishus Rabim. Yerushalayim, if it were not that its doors were closed at night, one would be liable for carrying a Rishus Rabim. So Rabbi Papa answered and explained, Kan kodem shenifritzu b'pirtzos, kan la'achar shenifritzu b'pirtzos. Rabbi Yochanan's statement was referring to the status of Yerushalayim before breaches were made in its walls, whereas the Mishnah was referring to an incident that took place after breaches were made in its walls, giving Yerushalayim the status of Rishus Rabim. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Neger sheyesh barosha galustra, a bolt that is pushed into a hole on the bottom of the doorway in order to be able to close the door, that has a knob on its end and can now be used as an instrument to crush pepper. Rabbi Yezer prohibits its use and Rabbi Yossi permits it. The Gemara explains, Benito be'igdo, if the bolt is attached and hanging by a cord, everyone agrees that it's permitted to use it because it's clear that it's being used as a bolt and doesn't give the appearance of bona. If it cannot be lifted by its cord because the cord will break, Rabbi Yossi holds it can still be used because since there's a knob on the end of it, it has Torah's kli olav, the status of a kli, and will not be misconstrued as an act of bona. Rabbi Ezra holds that since the bolt cannot be picked up by the cord, it's viewed as unattached and therefore can be construed as an act of bona. All right, so now we get our siman for Daf Kuf Aleph, and the siman comes to us by way of Kobe Melkin, who suggested a bird caller going caw-caw. A bird caller going caw-caw, so here goes. The bird caller, who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door, dragging on the floor, put his key to his bird shop on the windowsill next to the butcher shop, and used a bolt with a knob on its end to keep the door shut. Once again, in slow motion. The bird caller, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Aleph. The bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door, dragging on the floor, which reminds us that one may not use a regular door such as reed mats to close an entranceway unless they're suspended above the ground. If they're dragging on the ground even if they're hanging, it's forbidden because it appears like bona when one puts them in place. So the bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door, dragging on the floor, put his key to his bird shop on his windowsill next to the butcher shop, which reminds us that the Chachamim's challenge for Rabbi Ezer that one can handle a key in a Rishus Yachid while standing in Rishus Rabim, based on the incident with the butcher shop, was referring to the time when the walls of Yerushalayim were breached, giving Yerushalayim the din of Rishus Rabim. So the bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door dragging on the floor put his key to his bird shop on his windowsill next to the butcher shop and used a bolt with a knob on its end to keep the door shut. Which reminds us that Samalkokas Rabbi Yez and Rabbi Yossi, whether one can use a bolt that has a knob on its end and is used to be pushed in a hole at the bottom of a door when it cannot be lifted by a cord. So once again, the bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door dragging on the floor put his key to his bird shop on his windowsill next to the butcher shop and used a bolt with a knob on its end to keep the door shut. All right, now it's time for a four block back chazara. Daf Sadi Zayin. So the siman for Daf Sadi Zayin is a chess master. Chess master. So here goes. The confused chess master. Chess master. That must mean one Daf Sadi Zayin. The confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert, which reminds us, Rav Chisda said in the name of Rab, Halokeach tefillin mimi she'eino mumcha, one who purchases many pairs of tefillin from someone who is not an expert in the laws of tefillin, which Rashi explains to mean a middleman who purchases them from someone else, bodek shtayim shel yad va'akash shel rosh, he must examine two arm tefillin and one head tefillin, or shtayim shel rosh va'akash shel yad, or two head tefillin and one arm tefillin, to determine their validity. The Gemara clarifies that the middleman bought the tefillin from one person, and we must establish that the sofer who wrote them is expert in both arm and head tefillin. Rav Kahana brought a brisa that one need only check two tefillin, one arm and one head. And the Gemara answers that the brisa follows Rebbe, who says, the trei zimni havi chazaka, a chazaka is established upon the occurrence of an act two times. Rebbe concedes that if someone bought several bundles that come from different soferim, then a chazaka needs to be established for each one. So the confused chess master who had just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, which reminds us. The Gemara clarified that according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah on Daf Sadi Hei Amud Beis, regarding finding tefillin in the field, if the danger is posed by Sakanas Listim, highwaymen, Molichim Pakas Pakas Ma'arba Amos, then one should transport all the tefillin by walking less than four amos at a time. Rabbi Shimon says, Nosin l'chavero v'chavero l'chavero, one should pass the tefillin from person to person until one reaches the city. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds walking less than Dalad Amos is preferable, since with the method of passing from one person to another, Ashva Milsa the Shabbos, the matter of disrespect for Shabbos, is needlessly publicized. Rabbi Shimon holds it's preferable to pass from one person to the next, since there's concern with the method of walking less than Dalad Amos that one might not realize and come to carry Dalad Amos in Mishus Rabbin. So the confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, and to ignore the line of people passing a barrel of freshly drawn water. Which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah Daf Tzadihi Amud Beis, the Rav Yehuda said, Nosin Adam Chavis, a person may give a barrel containing water to his friend, and his friend to his friend, even if the barrel is transported beyond the owner's tchum. The Gemara asks, if Rabbi Yehuda does not accept what was learned in the Mishnah and Beya, Habahema Vakelim Karagli Abalim, animals and kelim are as the feet of their owners, meaning they may not be carried beyond where the owners may go. After the first answer was rejected, Rava answered that the Mishnah was dealing with a barrel that acquired its makum shvisa and tchum of the owner, but the water had not since it was drawn from a spring or river on Shavuos or Yantim. Transporting the barrel beyond the tchum is not problematic, the batel chavis l'gavi amayim, since the legal significance of the barrel is negated vis-a-vis the water. The barrel is tafel to the water. A third answer is also provided. Daf tzadiches. So the symbol of daf tzadiches is clowns, chok, clowns. Here goes. The circus clowns, clowns, that must be one daf tzadiches. The circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on an iskupa, which reminds us. The mission on the bottom of daf tzadi zainam base stated, if one was reading a scroll on a threshold, and one end of the scroll rolled from his hand and landed in Rishus Rabim below, he may roll it into himself. The Gemara asks, what's the case of the threshold? The Gemara suggests that the threshold is a Rishus Yachid. It's 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high. and the sefer rolled into the Rishus HaRabim in front of it. Even though there's concern that the scroll might fall out of his hands into the Rishus HaRabim, and he might come to bring it from the Rishus HaRabim back onto the threshold, we're not gozer the Rabban, because Rav Yehuda says the ratio of the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon who holds, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus eino omed b'nei kisvei kodesh. No law, which is only of rabbinic origin, stands in the way of treating kisvei kodesh with their due respect. The Gemara brings two more approaches. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a yiskupa and the other read up on the roof, which reminds us the next case in the Mishnah stated, Hayikor b'rosh agag v'niskal galsef miyad, if one was reading a scroll on a roof and it rolled into Rishus Rabbim below, m'sheyegiyah l'asar tfachim hofcha al-ksav, if it reached within 10 tfachim of the ground, he may not roll it in. Rather, he should turn it over on its written side so that the lettering is unexposed and leave it there until after Shabbos. The Gemara asks if it's permitted to turn Kisvei Kodesh over on the written side based on a brace of the Tat, Kosvei Svarim Tefillin Mezuzahs. Those who write Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs are not allowed to turn the parchment face down to protect the lettering from dust, or porus aleh as a baget, but rather one should spread a garment over it. The Gemara answers that the brace is talking about where it's possible to cover the written side with a garment, but in the Mishnah's case, it's not possible since it would require a very large garment. And if he doesn't turn it over on the written side, Eka Bizyon Kisvei Kodesh Tvei, there'll be a greater disgrace to the Kisvei Kodesh than if he were to turn it over and conceal the writing. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine, while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, as a third clown kept dropping his glass utensils that he put out on the window ledge. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ziz Shulifnei Chalon Nosin Alav Menot Mimena B'Shabbos, if there were a ledge 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim off the ground, in front of a window, one who is in the building may put things on it and remove things from it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what type of Rishus the Ziz was extending into. If it was Rishus HaRabim, there should be a concern that something might fall off the edge and someone might come to bring it back in the Rishus HaYachid. Abaye answers that the ledge is extending into Rishus HaRabim, and the Mishnah was referring to Kelim and Shibarim, breakable utensils such as earthenware or glass. Since they'll break if they fall off, there's no concern that someone will retrieve them. Dav Tzadi Tes. So the similar Dav Tzadi Tes is a cheetah, so here goes. Well, one cheetah, that must be wrong, Dav Tzadi Tes. While one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzedek HaSam Bey stated, "Yamad Adam Rishus HaYachid v'yashim Rishus HaRabim." A person may not stand in Rishus HaYachid and urinate into Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim v'yashim Rishus HaYachid, or stand in Rishus HaRabim and urinate into Rishus HaYachid. V'chen v'yaruk. And similarly, one may not spit from one Rishus to another. On this daf, Rabbi Yosef said, "Hishtim v'rak chayv chatas." One who did urinate or spit from one Rishus to another is Chai V'chatas. The Gemara challenged Rabbi Yosef's ruling, but in regards to Hotzah, we require that Akir and Hanacha be performed on an area that is 4 Tfachim square, which is a significant area, and therefore in this case, where it is not coming from a place that's 4 Tfachim, there is no act of Akira. The Gemara answers that his Machshava Mashvi Elei Makam, his intent makes it a significant area, meaning that since he intended that this object leave this particular place, this place becomes significant, and therefore his action of Akira is considered a halachic act of Akira. So while one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim right in front of his Rebbe, which reminds us, Reish Lakish said, Keach b'fnei rabu chai misa, one who coughs up phlegm in the presence of his Rebbe is liable to death at the hands of heaven. And it says, Kol masanai ahavu mavis, all those who hate me, the Torah, love death. Altikrab masanai, don't read it as it's written, those who hate me, el lamas ni'ai, rather those who cause others to hate me. If a Talmud acts in such a vulgar manner, he'll cause people to hate Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Gemara clarifies that we're discussing someone who coughed up phlegm and spat it out in front of his teacher when he could have turned aside or coughed up the phlegm into a cloth. So while one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim right in front of his Rebbe, a second one pursued his friend who drank water directly from the gutter less than 3 tfachim from the roof. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kod Adam min ha-machzil le-matam yud tfachim, a person standing in Rishus HaRabim may hold up a vessel in the air and catch water that's falling from a gutter which is lower than 10 tfachim from the ground. The Gemara says that the Mishnah implies, Kol in of a mitzaref lo, catching the water in mid-air as it falls from the gutter is permitted, but pressing one's mouth or a vessel to the gutter is not. The Gemara asks why the latter is forbidden, and Rav Nachman answers, Hacha b'machzila pachz m'shloish ha-samach l'gagaskinen. We're dealing here with a gutter that is less than 3 tfachim from the roof of the building. The kol pachz m'shloish ha-samach l'gag, kagagdami, and anything less than 3 tfachim from the roof has the status of the roof itself based on Lavid. Therefore, anyone who takes directly from the gutter while standing in Rishus HaRabim is chai for transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabbim. Daf Kuf, so the Simmer Daf Kuf is a monkey, so here goes. The curious monkey, that must mean we're in Daf Kuf. The curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadik Tes on a base pertaining to a tree. Shrush of Gvoim Mina Arad Shlosh Tvachim Lo Yeshev Alehen. If its roots protrude upwards out of the ground to a height of 3 tvachim above the ground, one may not sit on them. On this daf, there's Malchokas in the case of roots of a tree that protrude upwards and then bend downwards from above 3 to within 3 tvachim of the ground, whether one can make use of the part of each root which drops to within 3 tvachim of the ground. Rava says, Mutri Shtamish Behem is permitted to make use of them. The Kol Pachas Meshchosh Da'ara Arahi, because anything less than 3 tvachim above the ground is halachically regarded as ground. Rav Sheshe says, Asli Shtamish Behen, it's forbidden to make use of them. The cave in the Mekoch Isrka Asi Asurin, since they emanate from a prohibited section, meaning the part of the root which is above 3 tefachim, they too are prohibited. So the curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner, which reminds us, as part of a larger discussion whether it's meritorious for a woman to petition her husband and request marital relations, the Gemara brings a statement from Yitzhak Bar Avdim, who said, Esr Klalos Nisgalo Chava. Chava was cursed with 10 curses, but he only mentioned 7. When Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said that the other 3 curses were Atufa Ka'avel, she's wrapped up like a mourner, which Rashi explains that she's embarrassed to go out with her head exposed. Menuda Mikol Adam, she's cut off from all people, which more explains to mean that she's prohibited from marrying 2 men, whereas a man is permitted to marry 2 women. V'chavusha v'vesa asurin, and she's confined to a prison. Rashi cites the pasuk Kol Kvuda Bas Melk Pnima, the entire honor of a king's daughter is inside. A princess doesn't go out and mingle with the kamfolk, even though this is her dignity, it still constitutes a limitation on her freedom. So the curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upwards, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner and performed his antics in front of a modest cat, an honest ant, a dove, and a rooster. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Imali lo nitna Torah, ayinu lamedin snias mechatul. Had the Torah had not been given, we would have learned modesty from a cat, gazam in namala, and not to commit theft from an ant, varayis meyona, not to commit adultery from a dove, and the proper conduct for marital relations from a rooster which first appeases its mate and then has relations with it. Rashi explains that a cat doesn't defecate in the presence of people and it covers its excrement. Ants store in the summer what they'll acquire in the winter, and no ant steals the food of another, and a dove has relations only with its partner. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that Yerushalayim, after the walls were breached, had the din of a Rishus of Rabbim? That's on daf Kufalv. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn if the Torah had not been given, we could have learned modesty from a cat and not to commit theft from an ant? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that a regular door, such as reed mats, may not be used to close an entranceway if they're dragging on the ground? That's on daf Kufalv. Good. Number 4. Which daf they learn whether one can use tchelas found in the marketplace for tzitzis? That's on daf Tzadivav. Good. Number 5. Which daf they learn malkokas whether one can make use of the part of a root that bends below 3 tefachim if it first protruded up 3 tefachim? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Number 6. Which daf they learn that one urinates or spits from one rishus to another is chai v'chatas because it's considered a halachic akira? That's on daf Tzadites. Good. Number 7. Which of the one that a barrel of freshly drawn water from a river can be passed from person to person beyond the tchum since the barrel is tufled to the water? That's on daf Tzadizayin. Good. Number 8. Which of the malchokas regarding whether one can use a bolt with a knob on its end used to close a door when it cannot be lifted by its cord? That's on daf Kufav. Good. Number 9. Which of the one that drinking directly from within the 3 tefachim of a roof gutter is prohibited when standing in Rishus HaRabbim? That's on daf Tzadites. Good. And number 10, which daf do you learn that Chava was cursed with 10 klalos, one of them being that she's wrapped up like a mourner, meaning that she covers her head? That's on daf Kuf. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which daf do you have Malchus regarding the Pshat and the Pasuk Va'asafta Deganecha? That's on daf Lamed Hey and Brachos. Good. Number 2, which daf do you learn about Yad Saletis Bo? That's on daf Mem and Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which daf do we have a Makokas regarding how to draw water onto a boat? That's on daf Kuf and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.